Beverly fucking Hillbillies.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. Vito, our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. How you doing, Big Al?
Hey, doing great. Great to be here. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Played some golf. Had some fun playing golf. One good day, one bad day, but always good.
It's always good. Yeah, same here. Nice weekend. Played a little golf. Had a little Yeah, a little fun, you know. Nice little walk, and didn't shoot too well. Didn't play too well this weekend, but Saturday I played well. I shot one under, but Sunday we'll just leave that on the out of the bag.
You had a bad Sunday too.
I had a bad Sunday too.
Someone who didn't know how to swing a club.
It was like made the turn on the back nine. It's like, who the hell? Where did Vito go? Now, you know, I'm not too upset because it was windy. And so I naturally took the extra club, and I'm working on something just a little different, a little new. And I was long. I was hitting everything long. I mean, 177 yards into the wind. You know, I tried to hit just a nice five iron. You know, it was uphill and into the wind. So it was probably playing about 189. According to one of the guy's devices, and I hit it over the green. I mean, a five iron. I mean, and then the hole before that, it was 149 yards uphill into a stiff wind. I mean, the wind was dead into us. So I played it like 160 and I hit a seven iron over the green. It's like, so, you know, I look back at it and I wasn't too sad about the round. So, I mean, that's the whole day.
Solid contact. You're hitting it on the screws.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, one guy who was hitting it on the screws, if you watch the Olympics, I watched golf, the Olympic golf on Saturday, or actually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and America's Xander Schauffele emerged as the winner of the gold medal. He played fantastic. He shot a final round 67 yesterday. He finished one shot ahead of the ex-South African Rory Sabatini, who was playing for Slovakia, and who himself lit it up yesterday, shooting a final round 61 to get within one shot of Xander Schauffele. And Schauffele played great. At one point, Schauffele and Sabatini were tied at 17 under par when Xander birdied the par 5 17th hole to take a one-shot lead. And going into the tough 18th hole, it's a par 4, and it was tough all day. And Schauffele, I think, hit one of the worst drives of the day. He had a poor drive. He ended up having to punch out because he had no shot to the green, so he punched out to about 90 yards, and he hit a 60-degree wedge to within 4 feet of the pin, made the putt to secure his gold medal win. And he shot 18 under par for four rounds, which was absolutely outstanding. Rory Sabatini of Slovakia took the silver medal with 17 under par. He came out of nowhere, Sabatini. He shot a 61, a 10 under 61. So he was way back, and he just, you know, he surged right to the top. And the bronze medal at the end of 18, at the end of regulation play, there were seven players tied at 15 under par, including America's Colin Morikawa, who's probably one of the hottest players on the planet. And in the end, Chinese Taipei's little CT Pan, I say little, he also had his wife caddies for him, which is really cool. CT Pan on the fourth playoff hole beat America's Colin Morikawa to win the bronze medal. So Schauffele won the gold medal for America. He set it up by the second round. He shot a 63, an 8 under 63, which really set him off to be at the top of the leaderboard. And he played well for the next 2 days. And really, we were waiting to see this guy kind of break through. And, you know, already this young 23-year-old has two major wins, six PGA victories. Now, you know, he was right at the top of the board for – I'm sorry, that was Colin Morikawa. Schauffele, it's just he's got two or three wins on the PGA Tour, and he just hasn't been able to break out. And hopefully by winning this gold medal – you know, it sets him up to start being a factor in the PGA and just kind of winning some tournaments. He can't close the door. So it was really cool to see a breakthrough, and I hope this is the beginning of more to come.
Yep, and we'll see. And like I said, CT Pan is kind of like the big winner. I mean, Shafley's mom, Ping Yi, was actually born in Chinese Taipei before being raised in Japan. So Xander refers to Pan as my fellow countryman following the event, since he's half Taiwanese. I never knew that.
I didn't realize that. I know they always talk about his dad being German. So his dad was an athlete as well. So, and besides that, his dad's his golf coach too. So he's had one coach his entire life, and that's been his dad. And it just, the mental side of it is where he kind of breaks down. So it's really cool to see that he emerged. And I didn't know that about his mom. That's a cool fact. It really is.
Yeah, and Shafley's father had his own Olympic dreams dashed decades before, so there's a little bittersweetness in that victory, seeing as his dad and him are so close with Shafley. So some very interesting background stories this year in golf.
Yeah, it's amazing how it all kind of comes to play. So congratulations to Xander Shafley, America Xander Shafley. Keeping the thread of golf, I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday was the LPGA U.S. Senior Women's Open in Fairfield, Connecticut. And the great women's player who just turned 50 years old, Annika Sorenstam, emerged as the victor. She won by 8 shots. And, you know, it's really cool. Here's a woman who's taken 13 years off, I believe. Annika shot a 12 under for 4 days, beating fellow Swede Liselotte Newman, who shot 4 under for 4 days. So she won by 8 shots. UK's great Laura Davies, she finished third. And it was the U.S. Senior Women's Open. I believe it was the third or the fourth Women's Open. So congratulations to the USGA continuing it. It's really cool to watch the leaderboard and see the great names of women's golf who are back up there and playing, like Annika Sorenstam, it's also hard to believe that she's 50 years old now, but she looked like the Annika of old, Al. 12 under. Yesterday, she shot a final round 68. She had one bogey. You know, the lady is one impressive individual, and it's fun to watch her. And you know, it's a pleasure to watch one of women's golf's greatest players, and she still has it. I mean, the other great names on the leaderboard were Julie Inkster, Laura Davies, Madam Laura Davies, I believe, Rosie Jones, Trish Johnson, Michelle McGann still has a beautiful smile. The Avakapani sisters, Danielle and Dina Avakapani. And what's even more impressive was Joanne Connor. Her nickname is Big Mama, 81 years old, and she qualified for the U.S. Women's Senior Open. She didn't make the cut, but she shot even par for 2 days, and she missed the cut. It was one under par was the cut. 81 years old. It's incredible.
Wow, 80 years old. 8 strokes below her age. That's unbelievable. What a story.
Yeah.
She needs to be on a Wheaties box.
It was awesome, man. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, she's the one that got, I think it was Alistair, Peter Alice. Oh, Peter Alice. I think she got Peter Alice kicked off of TV because, I mean, he was good friends with her. And he, one of the announcements, he asked her about how does she swing with her big boobs, and I guess the TV cut took exception to that. She's got a great sense of humor. What a beautiful lady. I mean, 81 years old, still playing. God bless her. And I'll tell you, Annika Sorenstam's swing hasn't changed in 25 years. It was just awesome to watch. I mean, to see her swing, it's just so impressive. Just so impressive.
Yeah, she hit 62 out of 72 greens in regulation, leading the field. So kudos to her. That is awesome. It's an awesome.
It really is.
average driving distance, 258 yards.
And if you watch her,
that was Laura Davies. Yeah, Sorenstam came in at 238. So that's very respectable.
Laura Davies drove a 279-yard green, 292. It was playing 292.
Wow.
She drove the green. I mean, come on, you know? I mean, Laura Davies still has it. That's right. She's impressive. I really like Laura Davies. She does one thing. I didn't realize this, but she does one thing. Somebody asked her, David, forgot his name, this funny guy, but he asked her that he heard that she had a superstition in golf and she always carries three tees. And it's like, that she's, yeah, that's her superstition. She always carries three tees. And it's funny because that's the way I start around. I always have to have three tees in my pocket. Hey, there's I haven't watched much Olympics, if any, except for golf. But I will say this. There is a new fastest man in the world. And do you know where he hails from? Take a guess.
And Italy. I don't know the answer ahead of time.
Italy.
One of your paisans. How one about that?
Italian Lamont Marcel Jacobs won the 100-meter dash, finishing 9.80 seconds in Tokyo Olympics. He's the son of an American father and an Italian mother. Italy has never won a medal in 100-meter races. Never, never. I mean, this is incredible. Italy, Lamont Marcel Jacobs finishes first. USA's Fred Curley finished second, and Canadian finished third. And seriously, this is Marcel Jacobs at a press conference after winning the gold medal for Italy, the first medal ever in this track and field event, and the first gold medal ever in the track and field event, the 100-meter dash, 100-meter sprint. But this is, honest to goodness, this is Lamont Marcel Jacobs giving a press conference.
Beh, diciamo che è una cosa che comunque c'è nei sogni di ogni bambino. Io quando ho iniziato a fare atletica avevo nel sogno quello di vincere un'Olimpiade. Allora facevo salto in lungo, ero nato come saltatore in lungo e quindi fino a 2-3 anni fa il mio sogno era quello di vincere un'Olimpiade nel salto in lungo. Dopodiché abbiamo deciso di cambiare specialità per i vari infortuni e sapevo che la cosa forse poteva diventare un po' di più difficile. Però i sogni sono... puoi sognare qualsiasi cosa.
So for anybody to say that Marcel Jacobs is not an Italian name, that was Mr. Marcel Jacobs conducting a press conference fluently in Italian. And, you know, it's not Jacobini. It's not Jacob, you know, Ella, it's Jacobs. So there you go. That was cool. Fastest man in the world from Italy. Baby.
So what did he say?
He said he had a corn on his right toe and he got it taken off about a week before. He wanted to compete since he was a little kid. His father is Americano and his mother is Italian. And it's always been his dream to go to the Olympics and to race in the Olympics. And he's happy to do so. And he's proud of winning the gold medal for Italy. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. All right. We were quite impressed with that, so we'll move on.
Well, who knew Italians could run so fast?
Hey, when you got somebody chasing you, the mafia chasing you, you're buddy, you're putting your wheels in motion.
If they exist, the jury
if they
is
existed,
still out.
Right. When Bruno knocks at the door and he wants his, you know, his money, you know, you make like a tree and you leaf. Hey, and of course, golf dogs. Okay, has to be racist. He must have had a pasta at the finish line. Yes, that's exactly right. There was a bowl of pasta at the finish line. And no, the Bambino word wasn't about Babe Ruth, Bigfoot. Oh my gosh, everybody's bashing the Italians today. But you're right. You think about Bambino, you think about Babe Ruth. You're absolutely right. Got to give it to you there, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Everybody bashing that. Yeah, he had actually had a pepperoni pizza waiting at the finish line, dogs. That was a good one, Ron. Hey, in a serious note, did you hear about this gruesome killing in Minnesota? Did you hear about the beheading in broad daylight of a
yes,
woman?
Yes, I did. 50-
Oh, my God. It, absolutely sick. Sue, from New Mexico posted it on Twitter. A woman found beheaded on sidewalk in Minneapolis suburb. A man was arrested after a woman's body was found beheaded on the street in a town outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. A 42-year-old man was taken into custody in connection with the death of America Thayer, 55, who was found with her head decapitated on the pavement of Shakopee, a suburb of Twin Cities Metro. According to Shakopee police, Ms. Thayer was pronounced dead at the scene. Wow. I'm sure it took a lot of expertise to know that. Authorities say she died approximately 2:30 p.m. on July 28th. The attack on Ms. Thayer was not thought to be random, that the victim and the suspect were believed to be romantically involved. The Shakopee Police Department also wants to express its appreciation to the agencies who responded to assist on the incident. The department would also like to extend its condolences to the family of the victim. Local authorities are still investigating Ms. Thayer's killing, while the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension treated the crime scene. It's terrible. This is terrible. I mean, this should be treated as a terrorist. And I wonder if they're going to consider this a hate crime. I mean, I guess it's going to depend on what color Ms. Thayer is in order to consider it a hate crime. But this is a heinous act. I mean, you know, it's disgusting. I read that. It's just, I couldn't believe it. Just absolutely.
Mental illness.
Yeah, right. They did release the name of the individual, the man arrested. It took a little bit, but his name is Alexis Sabaret. Didn't say where he's from, other than he's from Shakopee, Minnesota. So should be treated as domestic terrorism.
Well, definitely murder, but is he going to get off? It is Minnesota, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
Viking will take him out. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It wasn't Minneapolis where they defund police. It was outside of Minneapolis, so there's still some law and order in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Maybe our resident Viking will make sure country justice is the order of the day.
Yeah, we got a little bit of news for you there. Huh?
Why is this even coming to America? Why? It shouldn't be here. Beheadings. That happens in the Middle East. It's not. It shouldn't be happening here in America.
No, it should not. It should not be happening here in America. You are absolutely correct. It just absolutely. It's sickening. Absolutely sickening. Hey, on a historic note, the Declaration of Independence was signed on this day in August 2nd, 1776. The Declaration
Beautiful.
Of Independence is 245 years old, and I think it was the catalyst for the creation of our great constitutional republic. And I know that the Democrat Marxist Party wants to refer to our constitutional republic as a democracy, but the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events, it's become necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our founders were brilliant, absolutely brilliant men. And so 245 years later, sadly, we have a Democrat Marxist Party who seeks to undo what our founders put in place. And it's really sad that the Democrat Party is not democratic, but despotic. And our founders were prepared for that. And the Declaration of Independence was certainly the catalyst for the creation of the United States of America. And, of course, it's also why the shot heard around the world sparked the American Revolutionary War. So I think it's the biggest fear to the Democrat Party, to the government party, is the Declaration of Independence, that if people start reading the U.S. Constitution, start reading the Declaration of Independence, it's the biggest fear that the government has, and that is the power of the people. And it is what the intent of our founders were, was to put the people in control and not these government whores up in Washington, D.C. So, and
it seems to be the opposite these days. It seems to be where we are being led by the government instead of led a government of, by, and for the people. It seems as though the elites in Washington on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, are taking over and not listening to the people, and the people have become, we the people have become something to ignore and overcome, and it's not good for our republic. I mean, take this $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that has nothing to do with infrastructure. 2,700 pages, Vito. And it's supposed to be finished today, and then they're going to vote on it, I think, on Thursday is what I heard in on news stories. Now, how in the world can anybody read 2,700 pages of legalese and then understand what's in it and enough with enough knowledge to be able to vote on it and enough time to share that with your constituents to get an idea of where they stand on this bill and whether they want you as a representative to vote up or down on it. It is impossible.
You know, you bring up such a great point. And you know, what we've watched under this tyrannical Speaker of the House, this despotic, petulant Pelosi, as she puts forth these bills, 900 pages, 1,900 pages, 1,700 pages, 2,000 pages, and then calls the question and only gives members of the House an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to read, you know, 1,500 pages, 2,000 pages of a bill is absurd, it's obscene, and, you know, it's frankly, it's dishonest. But that's what we have right now. We have this dishonest set of politicians who don't care about we the people. And you know, when they see that we the people start exercising our right to free speech, our right to for free elections, they get upset because they're so afraid of losing power. They're so afraid of losing control that they must find ways to rein in the American people. And one is instilling fear. And look at every turn that we look at today, it's instilling fear. You've got the bumbling buffoon Biden who's out there stating not once, not twice, but over and over again. And the other chimpanzees out there in his administration are opining the same thing, that if you're unvaccinated, you're unpatriotic. You know, go pound sand, okay? That's just a fear tactic. But that's the tactic that's involved with these dishonest politicians that are in Washington, D.C., including the career indentured fraud. This man has been a plagiarizer and a liar his entire public life. And now he's calling people who are unvaccinated unpatriotic. When in fact, okay, I just read an article that came out of the Corona World News that you know, if you've contracted the Chinese virus and you have built immunities up, okay, you have a less than 1% chance of spreading the virus and getting the virus. Yet if you've gotten the Chinese virus vaccine, you have a 45% of spreading the virus and getting the virus. And that means that 54% of the people who are unvaccinated have a chance of getting the virus. The virus. Well, son of a gun. okay? Prior to the vaccine, 100% of those unvaccinated got the Chinese virus. But still, 97%, 98%, 99.3% of the people survived. The same with the Delta variant. 98% of the people are surviving. You know, the Chinese virus, what was it? 156 million people have tested positive for Chinese virus. 3.6 million people have died, which means there's a 98% survival rate. And that's taking into account other countries in the world, like India, which has doesn't have as good of a medical system as America, the United Kingdom, okay, other primitive countries out there, okay, who all contribute to it. The United States has a 99.3% survival rate for the Chinese virus. Yeah, and right, Bigfoot, thank you. Lindsey Graham, he got the Chinese virus vaccine, and guess what? He just got tested positive for the Chinese virus.
Sounds to me like these people who did get vaccinated are getting a little buyer's remorse because they got the virus, they got the vaccine, and they were told, get the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask, but now that they got the vaccine, they can still contract the virus.
Yes.
They're trying to blame the unvaccinated for them not getting sold, I guess, a bill of goods, getting sold and having to take a product that didn't live up to its advertising.
Yeah, and that's the false narrative of the whole thing. Massachusetts, it just reads that what over 60% of the new 74% of the new cases in Massachusetts are those that are infected. So those that are vaccinated, the vaccinated people are spreading the Chinese virus. And mind you, here's one other thing. We've talked about this for the last month and a half, maybe 2 months, maybe longer, and it's finally making the news, okay? And we talked about this. Illegal aliens. The illegal aliens are unvaccinated and they're infected. And the bumbling Biden administration has been busing these illegal aliens throughout the United States in cities and towns all across America, unbeknownst to Americans. And suddenly, in the last 2 months, we're seeing a surge. We're seeing a surge, coincidentally, with the buffoon Biden busing illegal aliens who are unvaccinated and infected into the cities and towns across America. And it's finally being reported by the media. Finally. And here is Representative Chip Roy on the House floor, okay, one, talking about the illegal aliens being bussed around the United States, okay, who are unvaccinated and infected, and two, about the totalitarian, petulant Pelosi, okay, with her dictatorial dictates about arresting people, of having people arrested, including members of the House and their staff, in the United States Capitol who do not wear a mask. It's insane. Here we go.
Gentleman from New York reserves. Gentleman from Pennsylvania is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to yield 3 minutes to my good friend from the great state of Texas, Mr. Chip Roy.
Gentleman from Texas is recognized.
Thank you, gentlemen from Pennsylvania. Thank the Speaker. I appreciate what my colleague earlier offered as the previous question with respect to Title 42, because what we're seeing at the border is an absolute travesty. And yet, my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to do nothing, literally nothing about that today, even as we see people spilling across the border who are clearly testing positive for COVID. We have a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, that is literally filled right now with individuals who are heavily testing positive for COVID. These are the facts on the ground. And I know my friend, the Speaker, knows how bad it is at the border, knows how bad it is in Laredo, knows how bad it is in Del Rio, knows how bad it is in McAllen. I've got a text here from a sheriff in a small Texas town saying, we're passing an emergency declaration tonight at City Council that no illegal immigrants can be released in the city of Uvalde per the CDC guidelines of countries on their list without a negative COVID test, and we have had our health authority write orders that give us the authority to have them government, border patrol, and immigrant quarantine for 10 to 14 days. We have a crisis at our border, and we're playing footsie with mask mandates
in the people's house. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the people's house. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in a corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people, nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask.
I'd say that Representative Roy was a little bit upset, and it's about time that this consternation is aired. It's about time that members of the United States House of Representatives start speaking out. And when the dictator, the petulant Pelosi, that partisan progressive, okay, starts mandating that you will be arrested if you don't wear a mask in the United States Capitol, when in fact the U.S. Senate has no mandate. You know, this is about power. And this 81-year-old, lifelong politician is nothing but a dictator. She is everything that she had accused and falsely accused President Trump of. She falsely accused President Trump of being a dictator, being a tyrant, when in fact she is the tyrant. She is the dictator. And this is representative of the Democrat Communist Party, the despotic Democrat Party. I mean, you want to talk about usurping your constitutional rights, usurping your rights as an American, and they're doing it freely, and you're not supposed to question it because it's about instilling fear into the hearts of the believers. Okay, and vilifying the disbelievers or vilifying those that have a contrary point of view. That's what America was founded on. Freedom of speech doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything that's being said, whether it's the fascists of Twitter or the fascists of Facebook who decide on what speech is acceptable, or this bubbling buffoon Biden and his administration who wants you to know what speech they approve of. Fuck you. Breitbart had it right. So kudos to Representative Roy. And we need more. There's got to be more Republicans. You know what? There needs to be more members of the United States House, irrespective of your party affiliation, to step outside the box and start calling out these tyrants like the Speaker of the House. Forget about party affiliation. He told it like it was. Heavily infected with COVID. Illegal aliens crossing the border untested and heavily infected with COVID. Being transported, bussed around the United States, heavily infected with COVID. La Jolla, Texas. McAllen, Texas. Uvalde is taking steps in Texas. We have a crisis at the border, and you have a progressive, petulant, partisan Pelosi who is mandating, playing footsies in the House with masks. What, you know, you wondered why, after 2010 midterm election, she got trounced. She got her ass handed to her in the midterms, where the Democrats lost so many seats in the House. You know, any other Speaker of the House would have retired at that point. I mean, I guess Newt did. Would have stepped away. Okay? You just got embarrassed, but she didn't. She postured herself for power, and it's all about power with Pelosi. It's all about power. 81 years old, and it's about power. 81 years old, and she's calling for the 80-year-old Supreme Court justice to step down because of his age. Yet this 81-year-old battle axe, okay, who is nothing but a tyrant now, okay, is dictating policy, and yet she is supposed to be bigger than everyone else in the House. You know, the U.S. Constitution is very clear. It's we the people, not you, Pelosi, you the Pelosi. Not you, the government. So it's incumbent upon members of the United States House, irrespective of your party affiliation, to start calling out this petulant Pelosi. She's nothing but a tyrant and a dictator. And it shouldn't be tolerated. God almighty.
And then the U.S. Coast Guard returned 27 people to Cuba on Tuesday after stopping two groups off the Florida Keys. This is roughly 6 days ago. So they're taking these illegal aliens from Mexico, Honduras, southern border, and then in the middle of the night, sending them into the interior of the United States, yet the Cubans, they're sending back to communist Cuba.
Yeah,
why?
The Cubans who have truly been oppressed, right, by a communist regime,
yeah.
Communist dictators, they've truly been oppressed,
mm-hmm.
and dictator, bumbling buffoon Biden is having them sent back.
And he's doing it because the Cubans in Miami predominantly vote conservative.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Because they can't afford to have people who've lived through communist regimes like those from Venezuela and those from Cuba to speak out and educate the American people, because it's all about dismantling our constitutional republic. And that's why they installed the buffoon Biden. No one talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one talks about those Cubans who fled, okay, oppression, who are fleeing communism, and they're being sent back by the U.S. Coast Guard. The President of the United States issues that directive to his underlings, okay? And these flunkies are the ones that put forth that message, and that's what they're doing to people who are oppressed, truly oppressed by communism, which is what the Marxists in America want to do for America. Send them back, but keep the people from Mexico and South America, who should be, their own country should be closing the borders to these countries. But no. But let's go ahead and send back the Cubans who are truly oppressed, who don't know what it's like to live a dream, okay, and have no rights in Cuba, giving up all their rights, and they are indentured to the government.
Mm-hmm. And then the one time in history when the Cubans did come over is when Castro emptied his prisons,
yeah.
And Jimmy Carter let them all into America, all of their criminals. They
yes.
they all their prisoners, send them to America, because that idiot Jimmy Carter will take them and will empty our prisons.
Yeah. Speaking of failed presidencies. So, Biden's following the steps of the master of failure, Jimmy Carter. We got a call on the line. You want to take it?
Sure. Put them on.
All right. I think it might be our friend Moving. Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. John's the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Moving.
Hey.
I won't say you guys are on fire tonight. You're just getting warmed up, though.
We're trying.
Hey, with you were talking about this COVID stuff, I guess the meme is the bigger the lie, the more people believe it. And there's a lot of Pinocchios out there with this COVID stuff in government right now. I'm really concerned. If you go to the state.gov website, this U.S. State Department, they have travel warnings, category 1 through 4, 1 being okay, 4 being don't go there. And the vast majority of countries around the world are 3 and 4, very few 1s, a couple 2s, but mostly don't go there. They've locked down the whole world. the whole world's locked down.
Yeah.
People can't travel. People can't, like you said earlier, people are isolated from one another. And now it's no jab, no job, no jab, go to the, no store, no travel, no do anything. And if I see the French and the Germans aren't putting up with it. They're protesting it. So are the Italians. things are getting whacked out. This Agenda 2030 stuff is getting out of hand with this false COVID stuff, the big lie.
Yeah, it truly is. I just read something in California. There are restaurants now that will not let you in unless you show that you've a vaccination card. Now, you'll still be able to sit outside if there's outside dining and outside seating, but you won't be allowed inside without showing your COVID card. Isn't it amazing? You know, we've come full circle now to where you don't need an ID to show to vote. And if you're an illegal now, they want you to vote. But if you want to just walk around freely as an American and exercise your civil rights, your liberties and freedoms that are bestowed upon you, you won't be able to do it unless you have a identification card. Huh. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Are we living in like 1939 Europe right now? Because
yeah.
That's sure
yeah.
as hell what it feels like.
Hitler had the mandate. Show your papers, right? You want to travel? You want to show who you are? Show your papers.
Well, yep. In France right now, they're taking kids from their parents right from the school if they show a positive and isolating them in hotels and homes, not homes, but you know places that are set up to isolate them. Can you imagine that? No wonder why the French are going crazy. Can you imagine getting your kid taken from school maybe in September
no.
if they show positive and say, you know, what it's happening. It's for real.
Yeah, no, that's just wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
Well, hey, yeah. Moving, do you get a sense that the public in general or your friends and people who you associate with on a daily basis who some of them I'm sure have already been vaccinated, are they getting a little buyer's remorse? Because I'm getting feedback here from people that I know who are saying, enough. They're saying, I went along with everything. I went and got the vaccine. I sequestered myself for a year. I did everything that was asked of me. And now they're telling me that even though I had the vaccine, I still have to wear a mask. So they are rebelling against the mask. Are you seeing that as well?
Well, I would say I'm seeing that, but more so. And I was in the workplace up until last week, and I had a planned sabbatical. But even if I wanted to go back, I'd have to get the jab.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said to myself, you know, I don't know if I'll be going back. But to answer your question, I interact with a lot of people. You know, work pretty hard, like everybody else, in a professional environment. And I noticed since people got the jab, the ones that did, they just haven't been the same.
Really? In what way?
What do you mean?
Now, their energy level is down, and their performance is also down, and they don't generally feel well. Many of them, I'm not saying 100%, right? But I'm saying many of them just don't, they are not performing at the level they did before they got the jab. And I'm not knocking people who do. My people in my family have gotten vaccinated, et cetera, but I have a big tribe, right? So half of us have and the other half of the tribe haven't, right? I've seen mixed reports, firsthand accounts, and from reading, you know, people are developing heart issues and other types of issues. And the statistics, I read a lot of professional papers like anybody else. And, you know, I find it strange what's going on with Johns Hopkins and their analytics in the city of Baltimore, where they produced that Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I think, you know, there's a with not only the vaccine but the tests, there's people who mailed in their horses' saliva and got a positive COVID test. You know, all kinds of weird stuff going on from A to Z. So if the tests are, if the tests can't discriminate between, say, the flu and COVID and SARS, how good are all these statistics for the big lie have we been handed?
Well, it's irrelevant because now it's irrelevant because you, if you choose to go back to work, you have to get the vaccine. What I find what you said very interesting, and if you go a little deeper into it, is that you're seeing with your coworkers that those who did get the vaccine were a little bit off. Now, that's just it's an observational thing. There's really no science to it, of course, but this is just an observational awareness.
Yes, and I wouldn't say I notice everyone has, I guess, you know, I know a little bit about medical things, about O2 sats and oxygenation of blood. And if you wear a mask for a long time, you're gonna be a little bit dizzy after 8 hours of working, and you are gonna have a detriment to your O2s, and it is going to affect your performance. But for a while, people weren't wearing masks at work because of the vaccine. If you had a vaccine, they were saying, oh, you don't have to wear a mask if you had a vaccine. And if you didn't wear the mask, so you had half on, half off, walking around. Mm-hmm. And those who were not wearing the masks are the ones I'm talking about who were being a little off, not the people wearing the masks. Just to be clear, they seem very off. Their energy level.
Did any of your coworkers see the same thing as you and mention it?
Oh yeah,
just in
passing. We openly discussed it amongst each other. People who had the vaccine, who didn't, how people were feeling. You know, because we genuinely care about each other. We've worked with each other a long time. Over decades, some of us, you know, at different times. And,
now, were these unvaccinated speaking amongst themselves, or was there cross-discussion with the vaccinated and the unvaccinated in the same conversation going, boy, you know, I don't feel so good like I used to?
Well, all a bunch of geezers, right? So no fear factor about sharing what's going on, and you know, it wasn't a type of group where you had to be politically correct with, you know, just a bunch of professionals who are sharing data points, right? If they don't feel good, they're going to tell you, and if you know, very little holding back, right? You know, because close breakfast club. So,
well, when you moving, when you say performance, really quick, when you say it's affecting the performance, are you saying that people are more lethargic, not following through, missing work? I mean, what exactly do you mean by affecting the performance?
Yeah, so it's an engineering group, right? So we have to take things through processes A to Z, you know, work through it together as a group, and it requires a lot of active listening, right? Active listening. And sometimes we go on for hours. Well, you know, those hours-long discussions turned into, after 15 minutes, the group was a pooped-out troop, right? So,
wow.
That's what I noticed. And I think there's other factors beside the vaccine. I think the overall stress of what's going on in America and with people's families right now plays a big part of it. And they're not sleeping as well, and there's a lot of fear going on. So that's what I. So I wouldn't say I couldn't nail it down to the just the vaccine. I think there's a lot more going on that play into it, and there people are worried. They're actually worried about a lot of things, and they just, you know, are not in the game anymore. They're just not there. So I decided myself to take some time off and take care of family for a while, but I don't know if I'm going to go back because, you know, it's getting to be a little scary out there.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's funny you use the word fear, and it's all by design, because what we're seeing now is the propaganda campaign by this administration, and it's to vilify people, and it's to instill fear in people. You know, how many times you heard, and I was talking to a friend of mine today who was absolutely dumbfounded by his brother-in-law, was repeating the same thing that Biden had been parroting these last 2 weeks, that unvaccinated people are causing it. And it's hysteria. You know, you're not going to be invited to family functions, and you better get vaccinated because you're the reason why the spread of the Chinese virus is happening. And it's like, and this fear in people, like this guy, you know, is like, where did this come from? These, you know, relatives
I know,
are absolutely losing it.
I know where it comes from. Some people, when they wake up to when they go to sleep, they turn on this little box. Like I would respond, you know, it's a Pavlov response, right? And they're seeing it on the television 24/7. You can get a cheap, you know, 67-inch screen for $200 these days, right? And you bet your people have them. And that's all they're hearing on the radio, on the TV, and what they read. They're just being overly influenced and say it enough times, people believe it, and they lose their and they get so wore out, they lose their critical thinking skills, and they start to listen to machines, right? They just and there's not many people left that are using their critical thinking skills. It's easier for them to acquiesce, get a check in the mail, and repeat what they hear on the box.
Yep.
And that's what I see going on right now. And it's very concerning and
alarming. Where do you get that check? Where do you get that check in the mail? I want a taste of that.
Yeah. Well, sooner or later, I know I didn't get a check last year or any year. I didn't get any free money. Yeah. Just moving, right? No free money for moving.
Yep.
But
like you said, it's as we've been saying for, gosh, years. This is a conditioning exercise, a social conditioning exercise.
Oh, it's gone beyond exercise. It's coming at us and. You know, we need to act. We need to do what we need to do before it's too late, and it's not too late.
Yeah.
So hey,
all right.
Make your day any brighter.
Yeah, you are a ray of sunshine, but very interesting conversation.
Well, keep spreading it. This is one of the last few venues out there that. You can get some good information from time to time. So
can you say that during a fake pandemic? Spread it.
All right, moving. Yeah, you too, man. Thank you for your service and thank you for the call. You take care and be safe out there, will you?
Hey, yeah. My privilege. Thank you to all the listeners.
All right. Ciao.
Great call. Adios, amigo.
Hey, great call. We made some great points, and you know the issue of you got to wonder what the impact is to people that are getting, you know, jabbed and the fear that's being instilled into people. You used the word conditioning. You used that several months ago, and it was the right word. And what we have now is a conditioning that's happening here in the United States, and now we're conditioning. the American people to believe that if you're unvaccinated, you're unpatriotic. And that's just balderdash. It's hogwash. It's a flat-out lie. But I wouldn't expect anything less from bumbling Biden because he's been a liar his entire political life. Bigfoot put a quote in or a post in the chat room. Speaking of Newt, he just called Pelosi the worst threat to our constitutional liberties in our lifetime. I tell you, we're on the same page. We're on the same page. I mean, for the Speaker of the House to be this dictatorial, and she erroneously and fictitiously flat out lied about President Trump and calling him a Hitler, calling him a dictator, when in fact the real dictator and the real Gestapo is the petulant, partisan, nasty Pelosi. She is the true dictator. You know, and this is the woman. She's 81 years old. And this old witch, okay, has the audacity to question Justice Stevens's age at age 80, that he's too old to be sitting on the bench now and he needs to retire. You know, Nancy Pelosi should retire. She needs to go back to San Francisco and get in a rocking chair and die, because this woman has been nothing but a thorn in our constitutional republic side. She has been one of the most anti-constitutional individuals to serve in the United States House of Representatives. She's an absolute disgrace. She has violated and abridged her oath of office. She has abridged the constitutional rights of Americans, and she continues to do so on a daily basis. And her dictatorial edicts that she just put forth about arresting members of the United States House of Representatives, their staff, and anyone who's not wearing a mask in the United States Capitol is absolutely a Gestapo tactic. And she is a worthless individual. She is a danger to our democracy. She never, never, ever showed the respect to the President of the United States, the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. She had the audacity to put forth a 6-page manifesto to follow through on how to resist Trump. And she absolutely spit in the face of the American people who voted for the 45th president of the United States. And yes, I still harbor that animosity towards her, because the way she treated President Trump, even to the point where she ripped up the president's speech at the State of the Union, at his last State of the Union speech, was a disgrace. It's disgusting. She is a vile individual, and she's showing her true dictatorial ass, okay, by issuing an edict to have people arrested in the United States House. And more representatives like Chip Roy need to step forth and start speaking out. Enough is enough. Okay, this is the United States of America. This is not the United Soviet Republic. Okay, this isn't some banana republic, okay, that's located with some dictator who's smoking a cigar. This is the United States of America. 245 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed, we have a dictator, a Gestapo, who's heading the House of Representatives, who's done nothing but show disrespect, okay, to the President of the United States. And all he tried to do was be a champion for the United States of America. And now she's bending over backwards to appease this frail old fraud, the bumbling buffoon Biden, who's nothing but a career politician, a liar, and a plagiarizer. And it's disgusting, all in the name of a pandemic, all in the name of a pandemic, to instill fear into the hearts of the believers. That's exactly what the despotic Democrat Party is doing today. She is an absolute and utter disgrace. Sits there in her pious perch up in San Francisco, eating her $13 a pint of ice cream in her $24,000 refrigerator while the people are suffering, okay? For 4 months, she sat on her claws, okay, not doing a goddamn thing for the American people, for the small businessman. All she had to do was help pass an individual bill for the PPP to extend help to the American businesses, okay, to small business, the backbone of our country, small business, collectively the largest employer in the United States, and she sat on her claws and did nothing. All for political posturing, for political purposes, to make people feel the pain while that fat bitch, okay, sat there and ate her $13 pint of ice cream and laughed at the American people. laughed at we the people. And now we've got a sham of an investigation going on with this January 6th sham, okay? So much so, it was so much of a sham, and you have to know it's a sham because Senator from Maine, Susan Collins, okay? Go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Senator Susan Collins calls Pelosi's Capitol riot investigation partisan. Can you imagine? Here you have the left-leaning Susan Collins is so put off by Nancy Pelosi and her partisanship, okay, her partisan tactics. Even Susan Collins is calling out the bitter partisan Pelosi for her partisan tactics. You know it's that bad. You know Pelosi is that bad when she pisses off fellow lefties.
Like you said, the problem is also with the Republicans as well that are signing on to this bill, this infrastructure bill. There's 17 of these turncoats that are doing this, and shame on them. I mean, you've got Collins, who's there, Jim Hoven, who's there, Mitch McConnell,
yeah,
which is the most disgusting of them all, the Senate leader. This is a big problem.
It is. But, you know, you talked about the good old boys, the good old boy network, the Murkowskis and Mitt Romney's as well. You know, and you've got Fargo and Cleghorn, you know, who is the minority leader of the Senate now. It's all that incestuous club. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you sit on. It's how they can spend and piss away taxpayer money, because it's taxpayer money that they're spending. It's not government money. It's taxpayer money. And this is how they're wasting it. And again, what is it designed to do, Al? It's designed to indenture Americans to the government. You know, you had how many states? There were 9 states that were 24 states that had rescinded the additional $300 a week in unemployment benefits. Okay, because the economy's booming, right? It's roaring back. According to the buffoon plagiarizer Biden, the economy is roaring back. So now this pushback as to removing that $300 a week, right? I was talking to Belly. He was on the West Coast. Help wanted signs everywhere. Help wanted signs everywhere. He traveled up and down the coast everywhere. In Texas, there's help wanted signs everywhere. In Florida, there's help wanted signs everywhere. And yet you have a situation where a judge ruled in Indiana, I believe it was, that in Arkansas, that Asa Hutchinson's ruling of rescinding the $300 a week federal unemployment benefit is unconstitutional, and that only the state legislature in Arkansas can remove the $300 a week of participation with the federal government unemployment. And Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, was not allowed to do that, so they're reinstating that because the people in Arkansas sued to have that $300 a week. Wait a minute. If things are running, you know, if the economy is running and roaring back, why are we still paying this $300 a week extra supplement? Why are taxpayers funding this? Why? Very easy. It's simple. We have a government that wants people to be indentured to the federal government. We have American people who want this dependency. We have a government who wants this dependency. And that's why the installation of Biden was so important. It was to re-energize and restart what Obama had started and was put an end to when the American people saw that a job is worth more than sitting on your ass, okay, eating bonbons, okay, and getting a check from the government. So in Arkansas, a judge ordered the governor did not have the authority to order the Arkansas Division of Workforce Services to terminate the state's participation in the federally funded program. That authority rests with the state legislature. The federal supplement provided an extra $300 a week to those who qualified. It is the Marxist intention to keep Americans dependent upon the federal government for existence. And the bubbling Biden administration and Marxists such as Nancy Pelosi are revealing are reveling in keeping Americans indentured to the federal government. And this is just one state of the 24. It continues. Try calling up for a pizza. My wife and I called up all of Domino's for a pizza. She wanted Domino's. Get a, go ahead. Okay? You know, usually within 30 minutes, you get a pizza. You're tracking. 30 minutes goes by, 45 minutes goes by, an hour. I said, hey, are we going to get something to eat? She goes, oh, I ordered pizza. I said, yeah, it was about an hour ago. She goes, yeah. So she calls up there, and they apologize. Boom. An hour and 20 minutes later, she calls up, and the manager gets on the phone. She calls the manager and says, hey, just cancel it. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. We can't find any drivers. We can't hire any drivers. No one wants to work. And so we're understaffed right now. We'll get your pizza out, and, you know, we'll give you a free bag of Cheetos or whatever it was. It's like, really? You've got small businesses like Domino's, even though it's a national chain, small businesses, the station, the local Domino's can't hire people because there's no incentive to get a job. Why would I drive for pizza and work on tips when I can get an extra $300 a week plus my $250, $275, $300 a week that I'm getting from state unemployment? That's $600 a week. I can't make $600 a week delivering pizzas. Yet the economy's roaring back. But don't disincentivize people to remain unemployed. And so whether you're in California, you're in Colorado, you're in Texas, you're in Florida, okay, you're in Tennessee or North Carolina, there's help wanted signs everywhere, and they can't get people to work. You don't think the $300 a week is impacting, you know, business, small businesses in America? It's killing small businesses right now.
Mm-hmm. Hell, my father-in-law had his 99th birthday, so we threw a party for him and had it catered, and we were lucky to get the caterer because he said, I can't find people to work. Luckily, you booked this. My wife booked it early, so he kind of locked in, but if they were to redo the request, they would have said, we can't do it. We just don't have the people.
And that's sad. This mm-hmm. is insane, man. This is insanity. You've got doublespeak out of both sides of their mouths. You know, it's one to give sound bites. The economy's strong and roaring back. And the other side of the coin, you can't take away the $300 a week. Why? Get back to work. Why are taxpayers funding another $300 a week supplement? What for? What reason? That was $1 trillion. That was part of a $1 trillion spending bill. Now we have another $1.2 trillion spending bill. I mean, it's like there's absolutely zero regard for taxpayer money. Zero. Zero.
Well, I mean, $600, you rounded it up with other benefits. That comes out to $31,200 a year tax-free. Keep in mind, this is tax-free money. You don't have to declare it. The $300 is $15,000 and some change. That's pretty good money because if you were to earn that on a taxable level, add another, I don't know, 10 to 20% on that, you would need, for 31, you'd have to make you'd have to make around 37 grand a year, maybe 40, to take home 31,200. So, yeah, why work?
And
it doesn't take a brain sturgeon to know, I'm going to sit on my ass and make this money, and then if I'm really industrious and a real go-getter, I'll work under the table for some of these companies for cash and make even more money.
Al, you have used the operative word in the past, and for all those that are listening on Newsmax and Fox News and all those other networks, okay, Al, Big Al, came up with coined the phrase conditioning. And do you know what that $300 a week additional federal taxpayer money equates to? When you add that to, I looked up in the state of Florida, it's what, $275 a week is the unemployment compensation reimbursement, okay? Or that's what you get for it. Add that $300 a week to it, okay? Do you know what this average, this supplement $300 a week equates to? It equates to earning $15 an hour. Now, what has been the buffoon Biden's mantra since he was in his basement running for office? It was to pay people a living wage, and that's to pay a minimum of $15 an hour. So now you have people sitting at home who are making $631,200, okay? That's what they've made this last year in the supplements. It's $15 an hour. You have now conditioned people to believe that they are worth $15 an hour, because when I sat home for a year, I earned $15 an hour, what equates to 15. Now I'm going to go work for $8.75 an hour, for $9 an hour. I'm going to go back to the job I had, okay, at Walmart for $9.50 an hour, even though Walmart's now paying $15 an hour. But let's just say that you were making $9.75 an hour, okay? You're not going to go for $3 an hour or less, or $6 an hour or less, right? You're not going to go back to your McDonald's, okay, even though you're a high school kid and you were making $9 an hour at McDonald's. You're now, you know what? I was making $15 an hour sitting at home. It's the conditioning. It didn't hit me until I started figuring out what states were paying as a base, adding the $300 a week to it. It's all coming in out close to $15 an hour based on a 40-hour week. That is a brilliant campaign by the whores in Washington, D.C., now to manipulate the individual and to condition the mind that they are worth $15 an hour, irrespective of where you worked before. Some places, if you were making $20 an hour, $25, that's fine. You've probably gone back to work, because you took a cut in pay. But for the low-income worker, for the workers that are working at local small businesses that can't afford to pay $15 an hour, look what you've done. Look what you've done to condition the people to believe that $15 an hour is a living wage, because that's what the government did to condition you.
Yep. It's almost a financial war. And in a book called Unrestricted Warfare by Colonel Zhao Ling and Colonel Wang Zheng Su, they wrote this book in 1999 and called Unrestricted Warfare, where they explain the Chinese view on war, and they see that a financial war can actually be more devastating than a kinetic war, and that now that the Asians have experienced the financial crisis in Southeast Asia, no one could be more affected by financial war than they have been. No, they've not just been affected, but they've simply been cut to the very quick. A surprise financial war attack was deliberately planned and initiated by the owners of the international mobile capital, ultimately served to pin one nation after another to the ground, nations that long ago were hailed as little tigers and little dragons. So what is more, such a defeat on the economic front precipitates a near collapse of the social and political order. We're seeing a little bit of that now with all of this spending, this pandemic spending, and then this multi-trillion dollar spending package. We can't sustain this. The country can't sustain this type of money outflow. Our GDP, we have to earn that money as a country. I'm afraid. Now, if our enemies wanted to hurt us in the financial realm, this is exactly what they would do. And our greatest enemy is China. And, whoa, where did this virus come from? Wuhan, yeah. Virology lab. It's debated whether the virus was leaked on purpose or whether it was an accident. At this point, it really doesn't matter because it was released. So now, who is selling masks back to the United States? China, just as an example. So this is a financial war, non-military warfare. And if you start recalibrating how you look at world events. And for me, this is all new. This is very fascinating. When I look at these bills, I look at the money being outlaid, I look at this $300 to $600 a week payout from the government to American workers, this is non-military warfare, And if I was the Chinese, this is exactly what I would want to be doing to break the back of the United States of America. For whatever it's worth.
Well, you know what? It's worth a lot. You know, it's worth a lot, Al, because I think Clara Lopez's article on July 28th was brilliant. And if you've not read it, it's the title of her article is, "It's not about where the virus escaped from, it's about where it was developed," by Clara Lopez. A 20 July 21 press release from Congressman Mo Brooks, a Republican from Alabama, deserves both attention and credit. And, you know, the one thing I'll say is this. We've spoken a lot about the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum and what the explanatory memorandum is to the Muslim Brotherhood. And it is the plan of action in destroying America from within. And, you know, it's a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it's eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And God's religion is Islam. And of course, the Muslim Brotherhood is back in full force inside the buffoon Biden White House and administration. But then you read the article from Clara Lopez and how she spells out about the Chinese virus and Congressman Mo Brooks, okay, what his press release was about, and also the link that Claire includes in her article should give you a lot of pause, because not only have we talked about and we look at what the Muslim Brotherhood's intention is for America and destroying it, but it's also what Communist China's intent is for America, for Australia, and for Canada. And so we urge you to go and read this article, because it's very, very telling. And we should also be very concerned for Dr. Li Mingyang, who defected from China, escaped from China, is now living in the United States, and hopefully the Biden administration doesn't know where she's located, because I would fear for her safety. At his website, the congressman from Alabama reported on a meeting he'd attended with Dr. Li Mingyang, a medical doctor, PhD, a virologist, and a whistleblower. At the meeting, Dr. Yan provided insider information about the origins of SARS-CoV-2, aka coronavirus. Dr. Yan fled Hong Kong in 2020, defecting from China to warn America about the world. To warn America and the world about Chinese Communist Party's offensive an unrestricted biowarfare program. As Representative Brooks noted, the evidence is overwhelming that Communist China Party negligently, recklessly, or intentionally released COVID-19 on the world. Moreover, China engaged in a massive disinformation and propaganda campaign to cover up their misdeeds. Dr. Li Mingyang bravely defected from China to America after discovering the Communist Chinese Party's destructive and evil Wuhan bioweapons program. I urge America and the world to wake up to the threat posed by an unchecked Chinese Communist Party. It's time to get tough and hold China accountable for its deadly actions. Representative Brooks is among the few on Capitol Hill who has had the courage and the insight to speak openly about CCP, China Communist Party, Communist Chinese Party, illegal biological weapons program, which violates the Biological Weapons Convention, to which China remains a signatory, as well as the 1925 Geneva Protocol, later updated and accepted as customary international law. The weaponization of viruses is included under the designation of bioweapons. And the release of the SARS COV2 is a bioweapon. And China is part of this international law, which totally has disrespected it. And I had a laugh because under the 1925 Geneva Protocol, it calls for civilized world. Well, we understand how the communist Chinese are not civilized. The government of communist China is not civilized. At his website, Representative Brooks includes a link to a 6-page report from Dr. Yan that details specifics of the Chinese Communist Party, comprehensive unrestricted bioweapons program of the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, or PLA. And by the way, the Chinese military and the Chinese government are one in the same. And if you listen to a gentleman by the name of Colonel Lawrence Sellen, Dr. Sellen eloquently states it, that the Communist Chinese Party and the People's Liberation Army are one and the same. So just because the Communist China uses these Chinese scientists, they're all part of the same regime. She points to the open declarations by China's PLA scientists and other officials that suggest World War III would be fought with a biological weapon. Specifically, in May 2021, The Weekend Australian reported on a 2015 document written by Chinese scientists and public health officials that openly discussed the weaponization of the SARS coronavirus. 2015, mind you. 2015, they talked about the weaponization of SARS coronavirus. And that's titled The Unnatural Origin of SARS and New Species of Man-Made Viruses as Genetic Bioweapons. So I don't believe that that this virus was released unintentionally by China. When you read this and you read about the what has been done and what the mission statement is of China under President Xi Jinping, President Ping Xi, it's Xi Jing Xi, okay? This is a planned aggression. And you see the advancement that China has made around the world over the last 18 months since the release of the Chinese virus, establishing ports of call in Eastern and Western Africa, the buildup of China in ports in New Zealand and Australia. This is no accident. You know, while like the United States has experienced 600,000 deaths due to the Chinese virus, you have China stating that they had 97,000 deaths as a result of the Chinese virus, where it originated. Now, obviously, it's like getting reports out of North Korea. You know, you just can't believe it. But the fact remains, the plan of action by communist China onto the world here is the same as what the Muslim Brotherhood put forth in their explanatory memorandum. So, you know, it's really time, Al, to listen to what these subversive organizations, what the communists, what the Islamists really have a plan for America, what the plan is for the Western world. So you've got the bumbling Biden regime who sends out the attorney general for domestic terrorism when in fact it's Islamic terrorism that's the biggest threat, when in fact it's the communist China that's even a bigger threat. But hey, let's talk about domestic terrorism and let's label all of Trump supporters domestic terrorists. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll call them right wingers. We'll call them militia groups. Then there's the September 11, 2019 blog entry, author, columnist, and geopolitical staff analyst Jeff Nyquist, in which he posts the full text of the 2003 secret speech of General Chi Haotian. General Haotian was the CCP Minister of National Defense from 1993 to 2003 and served simultaneously as vice chairman of the Central Military Commission of the Communist Chinese Party. In the chilling speech, General Houghton, in blatantly racist terms of Han Chinese national superiority, atheism, Democrat Party, Marxism, and atheism, taking God out of the platform. That's a communist staple, atheism. He spoke of atheism, covetous overseas geographical expansion in the name of living space. Covetous overseas geographical expansionism in the name of living space. He stated that only countries like the United States, Canada, and Australia have the vast land to serve our needs for mass colonization, adding that we, the descendants of the Chinese nation, are entitled to the possession of the land. He went on to describe biological warfare as new bioweapons and a surprise attack as the means by which to clean up America so that the killing of 1 or 200 million Americans would make room for Chinese people to move in without despoiling the land, like a nuclear weapon would despoil the land. Houthian left no room for misunderstanding. He declared that in the long run, the relationship of China and the United States is one of life and death struggle. Remember, he is speaking here as the CCP ministers of national defense, asserting that we will not hesitate to fight a third world war to secure a Chinese century in which the CCP leadership leads the world. China, you talked about the unrestricted warfare, China's master plan to destroy America. So in 1998, you had the Muslim Brotherhood with their explanatory memorandum. In 1999, you have Communist China, the unrestricted warfare, China's master plan to destroy America. Maybe at some point in time, we in America, the government officials of America, okay, should take heed into what our adversaries have put forth as a plan of action to destroy the United States of America. It's bad enough the despotic Democrat Party is doing it on their own, but the despotic Democrat Party doesn't police their own. Like, Dianne Feinstein, that had a Chinese spy for 20 years. You got Eric Swalwell banging a Chinese spy who's helped further his political career in America, and yet there's no accountability for that. I'm going to put the link in the chat room, and I urge each and every one of you to read this. It is a really well-written piece. The links, I also urge you to click on the links and check out the links of The Unnatural Origin of SARS and the New Species of Man-Made Viruses as Genetic Bioweapons, The Secret Speech of General Chi Houghton, is also a must read. There are so many points in that speech. Here's a quote. Actually, however, this is not our genuine intention. The purpose of the CCP Central Committee is conducting the survey is to probe people's minds. We wanted to know if China's global development will necessitate massive deaths in enemy countries. Will our people endorse that scenario? Will they be for it or against it? So if China's global development, and understand what the word development means to the Communist Party, the development means to walk into countries like the United States, to Canada, to Australia, and to inflict as much massive death as possible. And will the Chinese people be for it or against it? Well, if you're a citizen of Communist China, do you think that the Communist Chinese citizen is going to say no against their government? So China's global development will necessitate massive deaths in enemy countries. Who are the enemy countries? We know who it is: United States, Taiwan, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Now, maybe this quote from General Houghton will help. As everybody knows, the essence of Comrade Xi Jinping thinking is development is the hard truth. And Comrade Jintao has also pointed out repeatedly and emphatically that development is our top priority, which should not be neglected for even a moment. But many comrades tend to understand development in a narrow sense, assuming it is limited to domestic development. The fact is, our development refers to the great revitalization of the Chinese nation, which of course, listen to this, which of course is not limited to the land that we have now, but also includes the whole world. Development by the Chinese mentality, by the Communist Chinese Party, the development means the entire world. I mean, where have we heard that? The Quan must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad to eliminate and destroy the Western civilization from within. The Chinese Communist Party has the same edict. And we have a government in the United States who's worried about wearing a mask. A mask that was probably manufactured in China, when in fact the enemy is at the doorstep. The enemy of America is the very country who President Trump was calling into question. And isn't it amazing that a pandemic was released on America and the world as President Trump was renegotiating a trade deal with China, a $525 billion disparity that was being subsidized by the American taxpayer, that China was abusing the American people, and he worked out a trade deal, and not a week after that trade deal was signed, the pandemic hits. And as a result of President Trump, you know, renegotiating this trade deal, other Western countries, other European nations were also talking about renegotiating trade deals because they saw the type of deficit they were running with China. Why was communist China legitimized in the first place? Cheap labor, profiteering. Hell, even the NBA, the National Basketball Association, still defends communist China because that's where Nike makes their shoes using slave labor. But you can't question that because Steve Kerr reads. He reads. He reads. You know, LeBron James knows because his pockets are his wallet. His bottom line is profiteering, you know, on the backs of slave labor in China. But you can't question that. It's no coincidence that President Trump renegotiating the trade deal and the release of the Chinese virus happens. Because it also squashed what? The democratic movement, the true democracy, the democratic movement in Hong Kong. You notice how that was squashed in the name of a pandemic? You notice how police went in and they beat protesters? Because, you know, freedom to peaceably assemble is only supposed to be is only in the United States. That's the only it's the only part of the Constitution the First Amendment does not exist in any other country. The Chinese government quickly squashed, even though it was festering for a couple of months, releasing a pandemic, and then the Chinese government went in and squashed the protest and took Hong Kong without firing a shot. Well, maybe firing one shot. So understand the cause for development by the communist Chinese government is not the development of their current country. It's not a domestic development. It refers to the development of the whole world.
Sobering. Sure.
It is. You know, you don't mean to be a downer on this, but, you know, something really does stink about this entire release of the COVID-19. Something stinks about this virus. And it's something is just not right. And I heard, you know, finally someone said it, and it was Dr. Lawrence Sellin who said it last week when he said, you know, President Trump was was successful in renegotiating that trade deficit, and then suddenly the China releases this virus just on the heels of this deal. Well, you know, there were other countries around the world who were also getting ready to renegotiate their trade deficits. The communists don't like that. The communists want to be in control. You know, and they saw an opportunity. It was an election year for one, and they needed to get rid of Trump. And, of course, the Democrat Party had been working since January 20, 2017 to get rid of Trump. You know, Nancy Pelosi put forth that effort with Jerry Nadler, and they stuck to it, that six-page manifesto, and it was to never legitimize Trump. And everything that President Trump did was met with absolute disdain. And they vilified the man, and even though he put America first, and again, trying to erase a $525 billion trade deficit with China. China stole the manufacturing from America. America was a manufacturing giant. And why? Cheap labor. It was cheaper to make the products in China. You know, it was cheaper to make the product in China. It was, you can print a book here and send the book to be bound in China, ship it across the world, have it shipped back to the United States, and still be cheaper than printing and binding a book here in the United States. That's pretty telling, and that's pretty sick. I mean, just in the shipping cost alone, but it was still cheaper to do it in China than it was here. So the almighty dollar is what was being looked at. And Trump saw that it's time that we bring manufacturing back to America. It's time that we erase this $525 billion trade deficit. China doesn't like to hear that. So now they've destabilized America. And you talked about the economic warfare, Al. It's beautiful. I mean, the monetary issue that's being felt in America. I mean, you've got people indentured to the federal government relying on that $300 a week supplement, and the economy is roaring. Be indentured to the federal government. And now we have a $1.2 trillion spending spree again, you know, by this irresponsible, fiscally out of control government. Oh, it's an infrastructure bill. Oh, yeah? Well, let's read within that infrastructure bill. Well, let's pass it first so we know what's in it. You know, 2,400 pages? What was it, 2,700 pages? How many pages is it, 2,400? It's ridiculous. What? Yeah. 2,700 pages. That's ridiculous. And, you know, the other thing about Nancy Pelosi, she would not allow a single-issue bill to come to the floor. And why is that? Well, partially because it exposes what's in the bill. And it would be probably 2 pages or 5 pages rather than 5,000 pages. You know, this is how dishonest this government has been. And it's on both sides of the aisles. The Republicans should have insisted on a single issue bill, whether it's single issue PPP, whether it's single issue supplements to the American people, single issue bill, especially in a time of crisis. Okay. So that we can know as the American people what's in here. But no, you lump it all together and you have your special interests. You have your train to nowhere in California. You have your bridge to nowhere in Alaska. And the swamp dweller Murkowski is happy. And there are all of those whores in California that are in government like Adam Schiff and Swalwell and Dishonest Waters. They're all happy as well because they're spending taxpayer money. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting what we're seeing today. And now we're sitting here, and for the last 10 years, we've spoken about what the objective and what the plan of action is by the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic Jihad movement. We saw what Saudi Arabia was capable of on September 11, 2001. But then in 2004, the explanatory memorandum is discovered in the sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia, that was written back in, what, 1998? And did they believe what the Muslim Brotherhood's plan of action is? Did you believe that? No, because Obama put them right in the White House. President Trump had the wherewithal to get them out of the White House. because he understood what the Muslim Brotherhood stood for and what their mission statement was. And now the buffoon Biden put him right back in place, and now all of this anti-Islamic bullshit is coming out of the White House. And again, it's to undermine the American people. It's undermining our government. But in the meantime, what's even worse now is you have a powerhouse like the Communist Chinese Party that is seeking to undermine not only the United States of America, but Australia, Canada, and the European Union. And they're doing it, and they're doing it quite well. You're talking about Africa before the show. Just outline what they're doing in Africa. And you know what? It sounds very simple, and it is very simple. But look, just take a look at what could happen in the Panama Canal that China runs. Panama Canal could be shut down by Communist China. Hey, what does that do to trade? What does that do to shipping? And what's happening in Africa? Just repeat what we talked about earlier.
And it's happening right here, right now, with a hardcore example. And unfortunately, we are our own worst enemy. The DOJ, Department of Justice, reported 4 days ago four Chinese nationals working with the Ministry of State Security, that's the Chinese, charged with global computer intrusion campaign targeting intellectual property and confidential business information, including infectious disease research. Let me repeat the last one, including infectious disease research. The two-count indictment alleges that Ding Xiaoyang, Chang Qingmin, Zhu Yunmin, and some young guy were HSSD officers, that's Chinese officers, responsible for coordinating, facilitating, and managing computer hackers and linguists at Hainan, Xindun, and other MSS front companies to conduct hacking for the benefit of China and its state-owned and sponsored instrumentalities. The indictment alleges Wu Shurong was a computer hacker who was part of his job duties at Hainan Xindun, that's a Chinese company operating here in America, created malware, hacked into computer systems operated by foreign governments, companies, and universities, and supervised other hackers within the same company. Now, this is what's going to make you sick. This is an airtight case that the Department of Justice put together. And if you read through the whole thing, you'll be amazed at the amount of detail and the depth to which these hackers infiltrated the United States of America, practicing precision warfare, non-contact attack, and remote combat is what this is. Well, these spies, no charges were filed by the Biden administration. They refuse to put them away.
They're an enemy of the United States.
Yeah. The U.S. drops case against these five researchers accused of what I laid out. So who instructed the DOJ to drop the case? Obviously, it had to have been the Biden administration.
Absolutely.
So this is so truly dangerous and should be a viral story. It should be on the waggling end of every mouthpiece in the news cycles for the next 5 days. This should be the story that's being talked about these spies getting undone, along with Fang Fang, Swalwell, and the other Chinese spies. This is a pattern of behavior. And the Biden administration and the Democrat Party, they're just letting them go.
Yeah.
So yes. The Chinese must have some major league leverage on the Biden administration or the Biden family. So who knows? Maybe the Chinese have Hunter's laptop, and I wish they'd send out everything on there.
There's no doubt that the Chinese government has something on the Biden crime family. There's no doubt about it. You know, when Biden was vice president and cokehead Hunter had a $2 billion deal as a result of Papa VP, the big guy. That story is buried by the left-wing media and any of the left-wing social media platforms. Something is absolutely wrong when you have a vice president of the United States selling out the United States of America. And now that very individual is sitting in the White House, who's been, anointed president of the United States. And obviously, the big man on campus, the big guy, doesn't want to lose that position. And certainly if corruption is exposed in any way, shape or form, it's the Democrat Party and it's the big guy, the buffoon Biden, who pays for it. This whole thing is this. There is absolutely something that is wrong from Ukraine to the clear abuse of power, quid pro quo, whatever you want to call it, from Obama Biden regime. And Biden braggadociously states that he withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to an ally, to the profiteering from China, closing a big $2 billion deal for a hedge fund his son was running, a cokehead was running. And yet nobody talks about, the media is not concerned about this, and we're talking about about Donald Trump and President Trump's business dealings. That's front and center, but undermining the United States of America and compromising national security by the buffoon Biden is of no concern to these leftists. I mean, the left wing has absolutely sold America down the wrong road, and it's really sad. I sit here 245 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we're dealing with such corruption inside the American government. And it's something that Trump exposed really clearly. And I'll tell you, the powers to be, the left wing, the institution, the government party, the unity party, they are just so put out by the fact that this outsider was elected by we the people. And they are the institution in D.C. is making sure that we, the people, never have an opportunity to do it again.
And I can pretty much guarantee you this justice, Department of Justice with these five Chinese nationals was a President Trump operation, because there's no way that they could have put that case together in 6 months. No way.
No. Yeah, great point.
That could have been why
absolutely
Biden,
great
that
point.
Could be why President Biden trashed it, because it had Trump's fingerprint on it. But I tell you, it is so dangerous, because who knows the depths of where the cell went with the hacking, what kind of malware they put in, and how many government institutions.
Well, without a doubt.
It's scary stuff.
It really is.
But if you're down in the dumps and this has you visibly upset as it does me, you can always go to Obama's 60th birthday bash in Martha's Vineyard. Former President Barack Obama is reportedly planning a 60th birthday bash at Martha's Vineyard, with Pearl Jam performing, more than 600 guests and staff, even as health officials sound the alarm over the fast-moving Delta variant of the coronavirus.
Super spreader. It's a super spreader birthday party.
Well, they report that film director Steven Spielberg is set to attend the bash, which is the talk of the town, and comes 1 month after the massive July 4th celebrations in Provincetown, Mass., which led to a number of breakthrough infections and concerns about the extent to which some fully vaccinated persons can transmit the Delta variant to others. These concerns prompted federal officials to recommend that both unvaccinated and vaccinated people wear masks in public indoor spaces. And they dropped that time bomb. But in the background, this Martha's Vineyard party is going on. The party will be outside. Guests are expected to be vaccinated, and there'll be testing requirement. Although it's unclear if they'll be expected to wear masks, according to Axios. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki declined to criticize the former president and pointed to the outdoor venue and moderate spread of the virus in the party's region. But the gathering of glitzy guests at a former president's $12 million home will raise eyebrows, giving virus fears and official calls for prudence. So what's good for thee is not good for me.
That's right. Do as I say, not as I do. You peons, how dare you question the elitist in D.C. or of D.C. It's Steven Spielberg is going to be Pearl Jam. Oh, the super spreader Obama is going to have a party. It's a 60th birthday party. So all of everything else is thrown out the door. But hey, if you want to peaceably assemble and say go to mass, no, because the atheists of the government will get you. But hey, you could be Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and have a 60th birthday party, have 700 people there, and there's no cause for alarm. No, the super spreader is your July 4th shindig. You know, celebrate the United States of America.
Because everybody knows that the Wuhan virus does not spread if you're at a BLM riot or a President Obama's 60th birthday party. You will be safe.
Jeez. You know, don't congregate in masses. Oh, okay, unless you're Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, because the Chinese virus just stops. Okay? Yeah. It's what a crock of crap. You know, this should tell you that we're being hoodwinked. You know, it's okay for these despotic Democrats to have their functions and not live by the very rules that they're imposing upon the American people, including Mayor Lightweight in Chicago. The same thing. She went to a festival, no mask at all. But boy, if you don't wear a mask in Chicago, you're as hell to pay. And the same with super spreader Obama now. 700 people. Well, we're all vaccinated. Oh, really? Well, the largest spreading of the coronavirus in Massachusetts is from those who are vaccinated. And guess where this function is? It's in Massachusetts. Bunch of frauds. We are being hoodwinked, and you know they continue to expose. They continue to do it. Al, Obama is such a fraud. You know he's a cancer on this republic. Well, tomorrow we've got Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Thursday, Paul Sutcliffe with the Sutcliffean Report and the author of a new book, The Cancer of Civilization. Jihad. Friday, Dr. Andrew Herod. Saturday, we got Minister Osama Dakdak and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with his interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue on Sunday. And Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Check out some other shows that are out there on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We got G-Ski and Dave Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Airwaves America. We have Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Blessings, Annie. Still thinking about you, baby. Our deplorable radio chick, Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m. Friday, Eastern Time. Great sidekick with Curtis. What a good man. And we got Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you want a break from any politics and other, political leading shows, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com, and that's the Simone Nicole Show. Great self-help work. Did you exercise today? Teach you how to eat, all that stuff. And then go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He killed it this week. He's got a great blog spot. I want to thank everybody who's joined us today. Bringing on Boy Ducky, our big fat soft underbelly, Paul Sutcliffe, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie, Sue from New Mexico. Thanks to see you, Sue. Dogs was in the chat room earlier, and thanks to Movin' for his call. Al, any of the party shots?
Adios, amigos, and we'll see you at Martha's Vineyard for the big party. Be there or be nowhere.
The Super Spreader Birthday Bash featuring Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. All of a sudden, the Chinese virus doesn't exist. Just get vaccinated, though. Oh, wow. Kumbaya. Bunch of phonies. Good night, folks.
The
Oh, baby, that was right on the button.
You got skills.
Hey. Oh, my God. You know, I'm glad you brought that up about Obama. That is incredible. It's absolutely – I just read a story about the largest spreading of the Chinese virus in Massachusetts. It's from people who are vaccinated. And so now suddenly – I guess the Chinese virus doesn't exist in Martha's Vineyard. And if anybody flies into – they're going to fly into either Boston Logan Airport or they're going to fly into Providence or they're going to fly into the private airstrip at Martha's Vineyard. And so the Chinese virus doesn't exist there either.
It exists. They just know that it's the flu. You can't stop it.
That's exactly right.
The criminal part is there's no talk of immunotherapies. There's no talk of therapeutics. Doctors are prescribing Tylenol, send your ass home, and then if it gets worse, go to the hospital, go to the emergency room, get on a ventilator. When a lot of this could be controlled and the symptoms, I don't know, deadened, for lack of a better word, if you take these therapeutics and these immunotherapy enhancers. It's not going to cure it. Nothing will, but it sure as hell will make you feel better.
Okay.
And some people are
going to
die. I'm sorry. Some people will die. Some people have other comorbidities. Some people have asthma. Some people are obese. Some people have diabetes. Some people have heart problems. Some people have immunodeficiencies. Some people have AIDS. They are likely the flu kills them.
That's right.
I mean, hate to sound all harsh and everything, but that's the reality. 100,000 people die every year because of the flu.
In this article, in Claire's article, and when you go into the links and you start reading even more about it, what I found interesting was how this SARS-2 virus was manufactured and engineered. And it's designed to hit the lungs and to get into and affect the lungs. And you're right. If you're a person that has asthma or if you have lung cancer, you have been compromised. Your lungs have been compromised. And so if you get the flu or any type of variant of it, you know, it could be lethal to your, you know, to you if you have this one of these compromised immunities. Now, you have a virus that has a 99.4% survival rate, and the Delta variant, 0.0080 survival death rate, 0.0080 death rate in America. You had 156 million cases of the Chinese virus and 3.6 million deaths. So worldwide, you have a 98% survival rate, 98%. And we've shut down the entire world. You've instilled fear. You've shut down economies, and all because of a planned biological attack. And it's like this, the engineering of this virus is to attach against the lungs. And it's incredible, Al. You know, the more you read about this and the doctors, you talked about the treatments. How is it that a doctor in California had 465 cases where he administered ivermectin with a 100% survival rate?
Mm-hmm.
And 800 were not given any ivermectin, and he had a 45% mortality rate. So why aren't these therapies, why are they being summarily rejected, one, by the government, and two, by medical, that could help combat this? If in fact this doctor didn't try it on two people and say at 100%, they had 800 people that it was tried on. But a 100% survival rate. And of course, we also have the hydrochloroquine, vitamin D, and zinc. There's three easy components to combat this strain of virus. And yet, it's met with consternation when you ask for hydrochloroquine and asking for that type of treatment with vitamin C and iron, and vitamin D and zinc. Why?
I don't know.
Through
my health insurer, which is a big company, big international company, the doctors who go through my network, I asked them, I said, can you prescribe me this? I just want to have some in inventory. I hope I don't need it. And they said, no. I even told one of them before I left him, I said, oh, by the way, I have malaria. Could you please prescribe me this?
And
him being the comedian that he is, he said, well, when you book your trip to Africa, show me the tickets and I'll prescribe it. I tell you, I felt like I was watching, geez, what movie was that where you think I'm a comedian and then he beat down the guy with the phone? what movie was that?
Oh, that was Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
You think I'm funny?
Yeah. Who was the actor? What the heck was his name?
Joe Pesci.
Oh.
Joe Pesci.
I felt like Joe Pesci on the other end of the phone wanting to whack this doctor upside the head for being such a dick. So all I did is I dropped him, and then I went to another doctor, also within the same network, and she wouldn't do it either. So now I had to go outside of mainstream medicine to get my hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to have it in inventory, which I did. I don't. It's ridiculous. I just don't. It's scary because there's a lot of people that are dying that don't have to die, and that's the saddest part of all, I think.
Well, it is.
And
the
saddest
bad
guys.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't know. I'm in the group of unvaccinated now. I'm like they're trying to make me out to be the bad guy, that I am the problem.
Right.
That if it wasn't for me, then the virus would have been stopped long ago. But now I am the cause of all this, even though the vaccine doesn't work, is advertised, and people who are vaccinated are now getting the Wuhan, the China virus.
Yeah, well, hey, look, we already heard the buffoon Biden, and he's blaming the unvaccinated, and he's talking about, do your patriotic duty and get vaccinated, and you're unpatriotic if you don't get vaccinated. I mean, this is the president of the United States. He's telling people that they're unpatriotic if they don't get vaccinated. I mean, this is absolutely the epitome of fear, and now you have people parroting it all across the United States. I mean, I've got cousins that across the country that are pissed. That's like, oh, you're the biggest. The unvaccinated are the biggest reason why. It's like, do you realize that before the vaccines came out, 100% of the unvaccinated were the cause of the spread? And I told somebody up in Massachusetts that this article states that 64% of the spread of the Chinese virus in Massachusetts is from those that have been vaccinated. Oh, that's not true. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You believe everything else that's in the newspaper. You don't believe this story now? You're going to stick with the fact that you're being conditioned by the federal government to blame the unvaccinated? That's absolute crap.
I think it's coming undone. I think people are finally the ones who are vaccinated. So we have a mutual friend who is very upset and said he's done. He went along. He did everything he was told, and now they're telling him, I did the vaccination. I did everything I was told to do. Reserved judgment and went along. Trusted the professionals and the administrators and the doctors. And now they're telling me that I have to mask up after getting vaccinated. They're done. He said, I'm done.
Good.
So maybe that's a clue that there's a lot of other people that feel the same way. I don't know.
Well, you know, and that's just the thing. We were sold a bill of goods, okay? We're told that if you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. First of all, you had Fauci, the fraud, state last year that masks don't do anything. And then you eloquently pointed out and you articulated how the masks don't help. It's like, okay, you have a mosquito problem. So you install a chain link fence around your house to keep the mosquitoes out. And the mosquitoes go right through the chain link fence. That's a mask. It's exactly what it does. But in the meantime, you've also now developed other medical issues as a result of wearing the mask. But let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. Okay. So now we're told if you get the Chinese virus vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask. Now we're told you have to wear a mask. Now there's another variant. In the meantime, you've got this administration sending tens of thousands of illegal aliens, unvaccinated and infected illegal aliens throughout the United States, busing them to cities and towns all across the United States. And don't you think the infection rates are going to go up as a result of having infected people just being do we have a Chinese virus problem in America, or is it continued to be added to as a result of this inept immigration policy, the lack thereof by the feckless fraud Biden? I mean, you can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. You can't have a policy where you impose restrictions upon the American people and like a mutual friend, does everything that the government asked them to do, including getting the Chinese virus vaccine. And now restrictions are put in place. In the meantime, illegal aliens are being bussed around the United States who are infected and unvaccinated, and yet it's our fault for the rise in COVID. It's our fault.
That's right.
It's something is absolutely wrong.
It's your fault.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Italians now have the fastest runner in the world. Don't tell me.
COVID ain't going to catch him.
COVID ain't going to catch him.
But I want a little bit of the COVID because then I can golf like John Rahm. I think that's a secret weapon.
I think that's
gotten COVID more than anybody.
I think that's why I'm playing so much better golf.
Yeah.
I got it in February, and I started playing better golf in March.
There you go.
Right?
You're a case study amongst yourselves.
And the study shows that those that have built up the natural immunities, less than 1% are reinfected, and less than 1% spread the Chinese virus.
Yep, because people, they still don't know with the vaccine, if you get it and you have the natural antibodies, how it affects the natural antibodies. And that's a big deal. That's a big question there should be an answer to.
But isn't it funny how they're avoiding that, like the plague? They're avoiding even touching that issue. If you're unvaccinated, but wait a minute, okay, how many people who are unvaccinated have the natural antibodies as a result of getting the Chinese virus? So if, what is it, if 6 million people in America, what's the number in America that have been infected by the Chinese virus? Is it 6 million, something like that? Wait, was it 20 million?
No idea.
Yeah, I think it's like 10 million people have been infected with the Chinese virus. So
okay.
If 8 million people haven't gotten the vaccine, well, wait a minute. They could have the natural antibodies. A mutual friend of ours has the natural antibodies. He's been tested. He has it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why should I get the vaccine? I have it. I will not spread it. And he's got underlying conditions. See, there's something wrong, Al. There's something absolutely wrong. Something's wrong.
Something's not right here.
Something ain't right here. But, I mean, the karma, there is karma, though. The U.S. women's soccer team is out of the gold medal game. Lost again. 2-0.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never not rooted for an American team like I have not rooted for women's golf.
You know, and I feel That's bad horrible. For the Marie Marks woman who won, what, she won 3 gold medals. You know, this woman embraced the American flag, embraced America. I feel so proud for her and her accomplishment. And it's just so cool that she actually brought home, you know, 3 gold medals and rightly so. And, you know, just be thankful for, how about the Belarus, was it the Belarus woman, Olympian who defected now? She's in a hotel in Japan. The Japanese government has put her under lock or is protecting her from the Belarus government, who's going to absolutely, abuse her and put in Turner as a result of her not complying with the team. And so, you know, I don't remember the whole thing of it, but the Polish government now has given her asylum and she's going to take it. And so here you have the government that's going after the athletes, and you want to talk about America being oppressive? That America has done nothing to any of those kneelers on the U.S. women's soccer team. There is no oppression of press. There's no oppression of athletes. And now we're watching how Belarus in the 21st century today, okay, is going after their athletes. That this lady had a defect and she's got asylum, approved asylum from the Polish government. Jeez.
Crazy world we live in. People don't realize how lucky we are, but we're moving down that road. We're taking the fast train to Marxism.
Hey, in other Olympic news, though, some other karma, the weightlifting dude that's competing as a woman is out, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. I saw that, and I had a mixed emotions on that story because this man didn't make any of his lifts, zero. He was the only competitor not to make at least one lift in that weight class. So now people are going to say, well, so what? She or he couldn't compete with the girls and lost. So what's your problem?
Right.
Now, isn't that the guy that also blew out a testicle as well?
I thought so. But then
too.
He was competing. So I wasn't sure. I thought he blew out a testicle and he was out, but maybe it was somebody another one. But
yeah, I mean, you'd have to wrap that package up pretty tight to be lifting that kind of weight.
Yeah, I don't.
You should research that. Get back to us next week.
I will do that. I will do that. I'll look into that.
You do that.
I will. It's nuts, man. I tell you.
All right. You look into the male female weightlifters' balls, and I'll tell you all about Obama's party up in Martha's Vineyard on his 30-acre, 7,000 square foot, $17 million home. For a guy that had a center for 1 year, a community activist for his life. And president, and now
eight years of president at $400,000 a year is $3.2 million. 1 year as senator at $170,000, so that's $3.57 million he's earned he got off of taxpayers and has purchased how many mansions? One $17 million one in Martha's Vineyard, another $3 million estate in Washington D.C., and he's already spent 7 times of what he's earned as living off of taxpayers. Yep, something's not. Yeah, but I also understand that Lolo Satoru, estate was distributed divided by 3 kids, including Obama. And so he got a sizable reward from Lolo Satoru's oil magnate estate.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Lolo Sotoro, Obama's father, and he was adopted by Obama, the Indonesian. So apparently Lolo Sotoro knew George H.W. Bush quite well. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he had amassed a sizable estate that at a certain age, it was distributed to three children that Sotoro had. And one of those three was Obama.
Oh, okay. So he got some oil money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bush, Obama. Not good. I like George Bush, but the more I'm learning, the less I like him.
Man, I know. Golly. The New World Order. And now I hear that phrase, and I distinctly remember that speech. It's like, now I know what he meant. Oh, my God.
Oh, he was in it.
Off. He was in it. That's right. Part of that cabal. Oh, yay, yay. All right. Well, have a good evening. And, Sue, you take care of yourself. Good luck at the doctors this week. Just keep her in your prayers.
Yes. Good luck, Sue. We'll send them prayers your way, darling.
All right, Al. Have a good one.
Okay. Oh, and it was Paul who had the problem.
That's
all, folks.
Okay. We'll do. All right, I'll drop him an email. Have a good one.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye for now.
Thanks.